Thoughts on Micah. The text is the entirety of Micah, and I want to give an overview of this book. The last series was Thoughts on Haggai. Now we move to the other end of the spectrum. We're still in Judah. It's a prophet addressing Judah, but not after the exile, long before the exile. Micah is in the south, in Judah, as is Isaiah, and he's the same time as Isaiah, same time as Amos, who's in the north. So you can expect the usual thing from this prophet. He is strong on judgment, as we shall see, but he's also very strong, and stronger than some prophets, on the glorious coming of the new covenant, and of course the eternal covenant in Christ. Return from exile as well is caught up in that. It's God's word to Judah. The book opens in this way: the word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moresheth during the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, these kings of Judah. So is that time the same as Isaiah? And it's before the exile. And he's preaching and prophesying to this people. And of course, it's not simply Micah speaking. It's not Micah's thoughts. It's not Micah's ideas. It's God himself. Hear, O people, all of you. Listen, O earth, and all who are in it, that the sovereign Lord may witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. This is God speaking. That's the claim. And this is how Judah received it. Well, of course, he opens with Judah's sin. Israel and Judah at this time are in a state of rebellion against God. There are some good kings for Judah, none for Israel. There are some times of returning to the law, to a measure. But basically, these two nations, the people of God, are divided. They're under judgment, yes. And judgment is coming. Israel in the north will go into exile in Assyria, and Judah in the south will go into Babylon. You get a section here, a passage dealing with the judgment, 1:3 to 2:5. God's judgment against Samaria and Jerusalem. And then from that you get the judgment of God. Then you get the false prophets, chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. There's always plenty of false brothers about, false teachers, those who will prophesy smooth things, who will tell the people what they want to hear, and who love to have it this way. So we get in chapter 2, verses 6 to 11, don't prophesy, their prophets say. This is what they say to people like Amos in the north, and to Micah in the south. Don't prophesy about these things. Disgrace won't overtake us. Should he be said of the O house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord angry? Does he do such things? No. If a liar and deceiver comes and says, I will prophesy you for you plenty of wine and beer, prosperity gospel today it would be. He's just a prophet for them and for this people. This people gather around them what they want to hear. They have itching ears, says Paul to Timothy, and they gather around them what they want to hear. Liars, deceivers, this is what they want. My people, Jeremiah says, love to have it so. Judgment, false prophets, what a combination. But then he immediately springs into God's deliverance. Chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. I will surely gather all of you, O Jacob. I will surely bring together the remnant of Israel. And so on and so on. There is blessing to come. But then, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, is judgment and rebuke again. But there will come a return from exile. And there is a glorious promise of that return. But it's so great a prophecy, it can't be reserved to the exile. It must include, and it does include, clearly does include, the new covenant. And then even that is not enough. It must be the eternal kingdom of Christ. This is chapter 4, verse 1, to chapter 5, verse 15. A very long passage dealing with this glorious hope this future, which God will accomplish. But he comes back to judgment in chapter 6, verse 1 to 7, verse 7. But in the end, he goes back into blessing. Chapter 7, verse 8 to the end. And at the end, of course, we have that wonderful statement of redemption in Christ. Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? And so on. God will have mercy. This is a glorious prophecy, not only of return from exile and deliverance for Judah, but the greater work of Christ's redeeming accomplishments through his blood and righteousness. All that is bound up in the book of Micah. That's the overview. Judgment, a true prophet, blessing to come, rebuke, but always the false prophets. May God give us ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds and wills to submit to the truth of God as we look at these brief thoughts on Micah.